Good morning, you're listening to KBLU 92.3. This is the Aggie Morning Word Podcast. I was supposed to say KBLULP. I always forget that. And we are the last word in all things news. Today's air quality is good. It is cloudy. And the weather should be, or the temperature should be around 36 to 55 degrees.
No, it was so cold this morning.
And let's introduce each other, or ourselves.
Who are these steely-eyed newscasters?
I don't think anyone's looking into my steely eyes. I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Peter LaBarge.
And I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Joe Steven.
All right. Now, our word for the day is lean or line. I think it's lean.
Lean.
Because it's German. is the right to sell property held as security or a legal hold on a job. So, there you go.
So, I don't know when, in what instance you would use that word, but...
when you're taking the GRE.
There you go.
And this day in history, Sputnik was launched. So that's cool.
I love
that's
Sputnik.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A metal ball with legs.
It took them a while. And, I mean, they beat us to space. But then we beat them to the moon. So.
Yeah. Take that, Russians.
Take that, Russians.
Yeah, Putin.
Yeah. It was also a commie plot, right? To kill us all and blah, blah, blah. They're spying on us using what was essentially a hunk of metal with, like, no circuitry whatsoever.
I mean, also the goal, like, for the whole space race was, like, space lasers, you know, Star Wars.
That's 80s.
I'm not saying Star Wars as the movie reference. I'm actually referring to...
No, yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, that project was in the 80s. This Sputnik was, like... 1952.
We will put a man on the moon. Yeah.
So, and today is National Frappe Day. So,
yes!
For those of you, that's
so the
Frappe is something that is that something everyone does, or I thought that was a Starbucks only.
No, because McDonald's has frappes. Huh. They do. For the like three Starbucks we have in town. They
we
should just
three?
Give us free frappes.
No.
We have one on the north side of
we
town.
We might have one. I mean, we
and
might...
And then I swear we have, like, two on the south side.
We might sell them here, then. Interesting. I don't know how much I want to... I like coffee-flavored ice cream. So.
I love coffee-flavored ice cream. That's all it is, really.
Yeah.
Wasn't frappes, isn't it just, like, ice crushed up with, like, iced coffee?
Yeah, with cream and stuff.
So it's not technically like ice cream.
Yeah.
But it's ice with cream.
Yeah. So the interesting thing there is that if you go to like the Mexican stores in town, they have some coffee ice cream bars with real coffee in them. And so you can get like a caffeine high from
a popsicle
from eating this popsicle.
I believe they're called paletas. Paletas being the Spanish word for popsicle, basically.
A lot
of them are made with like real fruit and real sugar.
yeah, I'm taking Latin, Greek, and Japanese. I've taken Latin, Greek, and Japanese classes. I don't know Spanish. I'm so sorry. So let's jump into international news, and we can just take turns reading these. The U.S. suspends contacts with Russia on the Syria war. Already chilly relations between Washington and Moscow turn even frostier as Russia put a hold on plutonium disposal deal with the U.S.
Haiti braces for impact from Hurricane Matthew. The Caribbean country's southwestern peninsula preps for life-threatening winds, rains, and storm surges as the Category 4 hurricane approaches. As well, they have been evacuating non-essential personnel from Guantanamo Bay. There's been lots of posts on social media reaching out to the essential personnel and also some of the... We still have prisoners there. But basically for their safety from this hurricane.
Yeah, and, you know, in any prison run in the United States, and I mean, likely in any prison in the world, there's people there wrongly. So, you know, there are people who are being held here, who are in danger, who, you know, are relatively innocent or innocent. You know,
I thought they only sent terrorists to Guantanamo.
Well, that's
that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. I can't think of a fun thing to call George Bush. I tried. I'm so sorry.
Bushy.
Yeah, I was going to say
about,
that.
That's President Bush. That's a good one.
Former President Bush. H.W. Bush.
No. Regular Bush.
George W.
Yeah. Because
George W.
He was the one who wanted us to believe that there's only terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. But, I mean, we've seen people since then, you know, show up.
Well,
Or, like, there's that guy who wrote a book on how, you know, he wasn't a terrorist. He hadn't committed any crimes, and he got arrested and taken to Guantanamo Bay, held and tortured for, like, you know, 2 years. And then, you know, got released when he made up information about terrorist attacks.
So. I mean, Obama said in his first term that he would close Guantanamo, and it's been now 8 years, two terms, and we've seen nothing quite to that scale. But let's move on.
Yeah. And our final piece of international news is Venezuela is scary and often deadly for those who fall ill. The social and economic meltdown has made life precarious for the vulnerable, as one case shows of a little girl's scraped knee, which turned into a life or death matter.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Very.
I mean, two little kids, a scraped knee is a life and death matter in general.
Like to the little
I'm
kid.
Not a parent, but if you've ever seen a little kid scrape their knee, it's Armageddon.
Well, it depends on how you train them and how you treat them. My kid fell down and be like, get up.
What are you crying for?
Rub some dirt on
boy
it.
Boy named Sue.
Rub some dirt on it. That's
come on, Sue. Acting like a girl again.
No.
That's why I named you
girls,
Sue.
No, guys.
You cried when you were born. That's why I gave you a girl name.
Anyway, what are you saying?
Okay, Armageddon is just about to happen right now between Peter and I.
Let's get Bruce Willis in here. It's about to be Armageddon.
Yeah.
That dank movie reference.
We're going to have a
drilling
battle on the hill?
Into an asteroid.
Battle on the hill.
Battle
bring
on
it.
The hill.
On a hill. Peter.
Grudge match.
I thought that Armageddon refers to a specific hill, right? It was a city that has already been destroyed.
Sure.
In the Middle East. Okay.
Are we talking about
I thought we were talking about the space movie.
So the word Armageddon refers to.
I'm gonna have to fact check you on this one.
Yeah, I think it refers to a hill in the Middle East that a town was already built on and destroyed. So I don't know.
In the New Testament, the last battle between good and evil before the Day of Judgment, a biblical hill of Megiddo. An archaeological site on the plain of Esdraelon, south of present-day Haifa in Israel.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, there you go. That's where it's going to happen.
I don't think Israel quite likes to be looped with the Middle East in modern terms.
Well, you know what?
But, basically.
I hate them. Okay.
You hate the Jews?
No. Israel is very warlike, and they don't want to be counted as being part of where they are. Yeah. Those are offensive.
Let's move on to some other political news.
Right. Speaking of war, Trump tax documents published without permission.
Oh, ho, ho.
But experts say the New York Times appeared to be on solid First Amendment ground, and prosecutors in three states remain mum. So we finally get his tax documents, but not from him.
No. I would like to take a look at those.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
It might be a little taxing, though.
Oh, man.
Okay.
What role Pence is stepping into? In the upcoming vice presidential debate, the Indiana governor will again be tasked with cleaning up some of Trump's self-inflicted wounds.
Which there were a lot of those.
Yeah.
Moving on, international news. We have a few stories here. The top cop in L.A. is what is that top cop saying about police shootings? Officers who shot and killed men in two separate weekend shootings were justified in their use of deadly force, LAPD Chief Charlie Beck says.
And Google expected to unveil new phones and more. The tech giant is also expected to roll out new home-based intelligent assistant to compete with Amazon's Echo, a virtual reality headset, and more.
So one of Google's new phones, I think it's called like Aria or Aura, where it's like a modular phone.
Oh.
Where it has these little pieces.
I thought that'd been canceled.
No, it's still in development.
Huh.
And then also the Pixel. The Pixels should be coming in. I think they're announcing it today. It's a new super sweet phone. But the Aria has these like modular bits where it like hooks onto the phone with like magnets. But then you can like tell Google, like, okay, Google, detach the camera. And the camera portion will detach, and you can undetach it and put it somewhere else. So essentially all of the pieces on the back you can like customize. You can buy different panels for it. I think it's a gimmick, but it's also kind of cool. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, and the Nobel Prize Committee is, doling out prizes this time of year. Nobel Physics Prize awarded to three for topology work. So, David Thewlis, Duncan Haldane, and Michael Koltzerlitz were cited for their studies on exotic matter that could result in improved materials for electronics or quantum computers.
Kim Kardashian is dealing with her heist fallout from Paris. So the social media accounts of the reality TV star have gone silent after a terrifying encounter with armed robbers in Paris. I remember when this happened, they were going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all silent.
And Kanye was also freaking out.
Yeah.
He should write a song about that.
He probably will.
Kim came Paris. Hey. No, for real though. They looked pretty shaken up.
Yeah.
Kim and Kanye were photographed in each other's arms. Kanye with his usual face of just facelessness.
Kanye,
like, hey, I'm here, everyone. Just meh.
Yep.
Kanye, who only looks excited when seeing pictures of Kanye. So,
last little bit, road teams farewell in wild card games. We're doing sports now. This marks the fifth season of play-in games in Major League Baseball, and that bodes well for visiting teams who are 6-2.
So today we are, even though it is not Friday, we're still hosting a debate.
We are.
And that is this debate between
Kurt Webb
and David
Clark.
David Clark, yeah. Now, before we get into that, since that's going to take up the latter half of our show, do we want to head into state news? So,
hold on.
Are they both here? Okay.
I think they are the state news.
They are the state news?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, did we prep everybody? Kurt Webb and Republican Kurt Webb and Democrat David Clark are here. They're both running for District 5 House of Representatives. Now, that's not necessarily where the Aggies live, but it is here in Logan. So they're going to come and talk about a couple of issues that are important to Utahns. So come listen after the break because we'll have a little tiny debate right here on the Aggie Morning Word podcast.
It should be interesting.
That's right. KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Joe Steven.
And I'm Peter LaBarge. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the Aggie Morning Word podcast on KBLU 92.3. And we have David Clark here in the studio and Kurt Webb. How are you guys today?
Terrific, thank you.
Good.
Very good, thank you.
Good. So these guys are running for District 5 House of Representatives. So District 5 isn't technically where Aggies live. Where is District 5?
South Cache Valley.
Yeah. Basically everything south of the Valley View Highway.
Oh, okay.
A little sliver of Logan, but that's all. Everything else is the Valley View South, Highway South.
There you are. So can you guys introduce yourselves, starting off with David? Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. My wife and I live in Providence. We've been there for 8 years now. I came up from Salt Lake City to take a position in the Huntsman School here at USU and have since transitioned into the Alumni Relations Department. We have 6 kids, 14 grandkids, love Cache Valley.
Wow, that's great. All right, Kurt, how about you? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm Kurt Webb, and I represent the south end of the valley. I live in Providence as well, and in fact, Dave and I have been friends since he moved in. I have 3 kids, 2 of which live in the valley. I'm a businessman that's now retired. I've had Cache Title Company for 40 years, so a lot of my constituents and people out there have probably done business with us.
Wow. Well, good. Good to hear it. So you guys are both running for House, but you're neighbors, I understand. You guys.
Essentially, yes.
Correct.
You're running against each other.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
So as you can see,
it's an honor, Kurt.
There's a political sign on one yard, and another one slightly bigger on the other, and it's flip-flopping every time.
Something like that.
One will be a lighted marquee, the other will be a plane.
Yeah. Give us time. It'll escalate.
So let's talk a little bit about last year's legislative session. Medical marijuana was a hot topic, and I honestly thought it was going to pass last year. Coming up this year, if you guys were to be elected, what can we expect your stance to be on medical marijuana? Let's start off with Kurt.
Okay, I oppose it. I don't know when we decided that we were smarter than the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Legislatively, we want to do something that the FDA is not ready to do. In fact, the recent article in the Herald Journal noted that the FDA actually reviewed it, reviewed the research that was available, determined that it was not significant, and that although they did authorize more research, they said that the research that had been done was not conclusive.
Hmm. Wow. And so... Does that go along with your Republican values to oppose it?
No, not necessarily. Medical marijuana, as long as there is a medicinal value to it, and it's proven that there is, then like any other medicine, that it ought to be legalized. Mm. Our problem with it is, because this is a very deep subject, actually.
But sure. It's,
so if
sure.
we do, if we said yes, we're going to allow it to. For medicinal purposes. In what form? In what combination? And how would you distribute it? And how do you manufacture it? And how do you control the distribution? And it's actually a multi-million-dollar business that you're starting to create.
Sure, absolutely. Now, concerning that, there are several different ways of distributing it and of legalizing it. One that could be used is there are several, just like the poppy, you know, there are many drugs that can be made from the poppy. Morphine, you know, is one of like 30. And we have the same thing with the pot plant, right? The marijuana plant. Now, the thing with that is we have synthesized and separated THC, the psychoactive ingredient, from the painkiller. And if you go to like Colorado or California, you can buy those painkillers in pill form. Would something like that be agreeable, or, you know, something that you would be looking into?
I still have the same objection. If the FDA does not think that there is sufficient evidence for it to have to be legitimate, then everything that we do would be outside of the federal approval, which means you can't get it as a prescription. It would have to be distributed differently. You can't get a prescription, and it can't be distributed through drugstores. And that's the problem until you get FDA approval.
So then essentially, even if it were to show sufficient signs that it was medicinal, that it was helping millions of Americans, if the FDA still had a ban on it, you wouldn't push for its legalization?
Are there other drugs that you would, that the FDA doesn't approve, that you'd want to just jump around the FDA and take? I mean, I'm just a little surprised by this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, David Clark, what do you have to say about medical marijuana?
I don't think our positions are all that different as far as medical marijuana is concerned, but I would push vigorously for legislation that would allow for research to be conducted.
Oh.
I came out of the biopharmaceutical industry before I came to Utah State, and I know the importance of the FDA, and the FDA fills a critical function in our society, and Kurt's right. We can't just ignore what the FDA says. Now, having said that, I think that the first thing that should happen is that the FDA should reclassify marijuana so that legitimate research can be done on THC and the other neuroactive and psychoactive compounds that are in the cannabis plant.
Hmm.
So I would push strongly for legislation that would allow us to find out how to make medical therapeutic marijuana available to people, because clearly there are beneficial compounds in the plant that we need to exploit.
Hmm.
That's also not a state function.
True. I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. So let's talk a little bit about the expansion of Medicaid. Let's start off with David this time. David, what are your stances on the expansion of Medicaid?
I think that Medicaid should be expanded. I think that to leave the hundreds of millions of dollars that the federal government has offered the state on the table to the detriment of our most needy citizens is something that we should reconsider very seriously. Now, having said that, I also understand that the primary challenge with doing that is sustaining the benefits that the initial acceptance of Medicaid expansion would create. We can't create a situation where we take benefits provided by the federal government and use them in the short term without a plan to be able to sustain those benefits over the long term. So I think that's what the challenge is. I think it needs to be approached very carefully, very thoughtfully, and with a long view in mind. But I do think we should take that money and get it to the people who need it most.
Mm. Kurt, what about you?
Well, it's tempting. Those are the arguments that we've heard.
Sure.
I would have to say, though, that having heard all those in the legislature, these are our concerns, is that if the federal government pays 97%, and that still leaves us $70 million to pay, if the federal government decides later on that they won't pay 97%, let's just say that they go back to paying 90. Then suddenly, instead of $70 million, let's just say it doubles to $140 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to estimate the take rate. That is, who comes out of the woodwork to actually say they need this coverage?
Sure.
And so if that once again, it turns out to be more, and let's say it goes up another $70 million, now we're the state, what should have been free, ends up costing the state $210 million a year, ongoing.
Sure, sure.
And where does that money come from? So the states, there have been a few states that have passed it and found out that their take rate was much more than they thought and have lost their bond ratings as a result, because they don't have the cash flow without raising taxes to meet that obligation.
Mm.
So there's just so much uncertainty out there right now that, and the federal government's a little bit, are they going to borrow this money to give it to us? They already, when it came to the other piece of Medicaid where they were supposed to help subsidize the insurance companies that didn't make it, we have I think it was Arches in the state that went out of business because the federal government wouldn't pay the share that they promised. So these promises of how much the federal government will pay leave us a little bit anxious, for sure.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit, if you were to be elected, what would be a bill that you would push? Let's start off with Kurt Webb.
Well, you know, I've been there.
Yeah,
what would be a
bill that you would sponsor?
Let me give you the idea of what kinds of bills that I carry.
Okay.
Because I come from a real estate background, what happens mostly is that my emphasis has been on property rights protection.
Mm, okay.
And I also chair the Political Subdivisions Committee, which has to do with cities and towns and counties.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the areas of legislation that I see most.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. what the cities, the best government in the world is actually your local government. But
absolutely,
they're also, they also have a tendency to go outside the bounds a little bit. The state and state government is actually sovereign, and they're a subdivision of the state government. And so my committee ends up having to say, okay, these are your parameters, and maybe we didn't define it carefully enough. So those are the kinds of things I carry: real estate related, property rights related. Right now I'm dealing with one that has to do with collections. People have been losing their credit rating.
Yeah.
Because they failed to pay a $50 bill that they didn't even know about. These sorts of things really need help.
Wow.
Philosophically, let me just say, though, that I think that what legislators should do is clear away the obstacles and then get out of the way.
That's interesting. All right, David, what would be something that you would push if you were elected?
2 years ago, I ran for a position on the State Board of Education and lost in a close race to a woman named Terrell Warner, who is a terrific person, a friend of mine. Keep running against friends. That may not be the best political strategy in the long run.
No, but it seems to be yours.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. No, Terrell remains a very good friend. But I think what I'm saying here is that reflects my passion for education. And I would certainly want to dive into legislation that would strengthen educational opportunities for our kids here in Utah. We have a situation where we have large classrooms and we have a shortage of teachers, and I think we need to look at ways to find out how we can promote teaching as a career, a long-term career for men and women, in order to be able to address the shortage of teachers in our state. It's just something that we have to be very serious about. We have large families in Utah. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It reflects our values. But given the fact that we have these large families and large populations of kids in our public education system, we've got to find a way to make sure that our teachers can enter the teaching profession and stay in the teaching profession. And those would be some issues that I would like to tackle.
So do you support the recent allowing people without teaching degrees to become teachers?
No, I don't. I don't think that's a long-term solution. I think it denigrates the work that teachers have put into to getting their certificates and being in the classroom. And I just don't see that as a long-term solution.
Sure.
I think we need to find, again, as I said, ways to entice people to come into teaching as a career and give them the resources necessary to allow them to stay in that career for a long period of time.
Peter, are you going to say something?
Yeah. I was going to ask a question. I came with some heated questions. I'd like to hear your input on it. Recently in our little town, we had some protesters standing outside of Planned Parenthood holding signs saying, "Pray to end abortion." And I guess just briefly, because I know this is a very deep topic, but how would you touch on this specific protest or really just the general defunding of Planned Parenthood around the U.S. and really how abortion matters in Utah, starting with David.
Well, first, as far as the protest is concerned, that's American. You must be able to protest. You must be able to speak. And so for them to be able to stand and voice their opinions, I'm 100% for that, would support them absolutely without question or qualification. As far as Planned Parenthood is concerned, I'm very much opposed to defunding Planned Parenthood. I think Planned Parenthood's services go so far beyond just abortion. It provides health services for women, and especially for needy women. And we can't just cavalierly, in my opinion, defund it. Generally speaking, I'm pro-choice, and I'm very supportive of Planned Parenthood.
All right, Kurt, what do you have to say about that?
I can see you're getting ready to drop bombs.
Where would you think I'd be on? totally support people's right, both on both sides, to protest. I don't think that we ought to be tolerant of the organizations that provide these services if they are guilty of misconduct. And I'm not sure that was proven, but I think that it's the protests are valid. If you say there's some there's some evidence or at least smoke, then you ought to be able to look and see if there's fire. Now, we're referring to the scandal that had to do with Planned Parenthood.
For sure.
Should we defund it just because they provide those kinds of services? There are some who say that we should, but I think the nation has gotten past that. It wasn't the idea that we should defund Planned Parenthood because of abortion itself. It was because of what appeared to be misconduct on their part.
Mm. All right. So I think that about wraps up our time with you guys. Is there anything else that either of you want to say, want to add to this?
Well, I would just reiterate what I said at the beginning of this campaign. I'm in this because I think we need to have choice when we go to the polls. I don't oppose Kurt. Kurt is my neighbor. He's a terrific man, and I applaud him and honor him for his public service. But I think when you have a ballot that has, in the case of Cache Valley, four legislative races and no opposition, that's a disservice to democracy. And so that's why I'm in this. And I would be delighted to serve, but we'll let that be a matter of choice. And my primary objective is to allow people to at least have a choice.
Mm. And you are the Democrat.
Correct. Yes.
All right. Uh-huh. So I don't think I touched on that at the beginning. I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Kurt, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I didn't get to talk about education at all, which would have been a really good
topic. Oh, I'm so sorry. Absolutely.
I just want to make sure that you understand that
our
teachers are doing a great job. Hmm. And Utah has a lot of competing demands on the funding that we have. We have put a lot of money into education recently.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been new taxes. That has been because we've had prosperity. Hmm. And prosperity and education go hand in hand. Do we need to do better funding education? We do, preferably from prosperity, but that isn't a safe way to do it all the time either.
Hmm.
So I believe exactly what Dave said about it needs to be professional.
Sure.
Let me just say that this is a great experience. It's good to come here and have the interchange.
You.
We wouldn't have that if I didn't have somebody running
against
me.
Sure.
And the Democrats always run somebody against me. Always. I said to Gina Wickmore, I said, why me? Why always me? Thank you.
Well, good. Anything else you want to add to this?
No,
we're
you.
Good.
No.
Well, thank
thanks
you guys so much
yes,
for coming
so
in the studio.
Much.
This is David Clark, Democrat, and we have Kurt Webb, the Republican. You guys are both running for District 5 House of Representatives. Thank you so much for coming in the studio. We really appreciate it. You can check these guys out tonight. They will be at Meet the Candidates at 7 p.m. right here at USU. It will be in the Perry Pavilion in the business building, and it'll be really cool. Mike Lee will be there. Misty Snow will be there. Governor Gary Herbert, Mike Weinholz, Peter Clemens. It'll be a blast. Stay tuned.
How much candy do I need to bring?
All of the candy.
So we're going to go to a break. We're going to listen to some ex-ambassadors. And coming up after this, we are going to talk about quirky news.
As long as it's red candy.
Thank you for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast.
Welcome back to the Aggie Morning Word podcast.
We missed you.
Yeah. I'm Catherine.
I'm Peter.
I'm Morgan Pratt.
And I'm Joe Steven.
Hope you enjoyed that musical break and also that wonderful debate that we had in studio.
Rhymed.
I'm a poet. Didn't even know it. Let me tell you, though, they were not up in fisticuffs with each other. They had their hands on their shoulders, and they were walking down the TSC hallway like jovial young boys.
They even matched. Like, they even wore the same outfit.
They had a suit coat, a turtleneck sweater, slacks. Of course, David Clark, though, had a Utah State pin on, so
yeah.
we were kind of biased.
That's how you
in
could tell
way.
Them apart. No,
Kurt was looking a little bit older.
No, I mean,
purely hair wise.
Yeah, he shaved.
Older and knowledgeable.
Yeah. I have to say, that was actually really nice.
It was refreshing.
I really enjoy state politics. Sometimes I've been to like some city council meetings and stuff. we're looking at you, Hyde Park, and they can get kind of
Nibley City.
Yeah, they can get a little bit. I don't know if these guys finished high school, but
oh no, oh. That's not what I was saying. No, 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 that's not what I was getting at yeah. at all. No. I retract my thing. Yeah. I didn't know what Kat was going to say.
Yeah.
Nibley City, they're all smart and educated and yeah. really cool.
And cattle farmers.
No, no.
No, no.
Not all of them. Some of them race horses.
I love Nibley City. I reported on them for a long
Nibley
time.
Nibley is very different.
Yeah, they Nibley's are lovely different. Human beings. Nibley I is love, a, love, the, love them.
My yeah. best friend grew Nibley, up in Nibley.
Nibley is a suburb. Peter. Yeah. It's a suburb.
Really?
All right, let's jump into quirky news. Joe has some quirky news.
I do, actually. So since it's October, we're going to talk about some clowns. No. And some.
No!
I know, I terrifying. Hate clowns, too, but as...
I saw that last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some... as many of you know, on the East Coast, especially in North Carolina, they've been spotted. They've even been spotted on the West Coast sometimes, too, out in California.
No!
Yeah, no, I found that out.
No, they're really terrifying, though.
Yeah, I found that out the other day that there were some...
They were luring children into the woods.
Yeah.
That was the first guy, and now it's caught on around the country.
It's quite disturbing. It's quite disturbing. And I found out that they were in California, and it was, like, mm-hmm. a city 2 hours from where I grew up. And I was oh, boy.
And you know exactly who it is.
Totally. But anyways, the students at Penn State, they're not going to stand for it. So a clown was spotted near Penn State in Pennsylvania, obviously. And at least 500 students from Pennsylvania
yeah.
State University took to the streets and searched for the clown and that was supposedly spotted nearby earlier.
What? Mm-hmm.
And they just started rioting and chanting and say, "We are Penn State."
Yes.
Yep. They didn't cause any damage.
That is
so
awesome.
It was awesome, but they went after that clown, but they never found the clown.
Touching on that, too, I think it was like the Iowa State Police Chief or some police chief. I forget who. You can look it up. But he basically is having enough with the clowns as well because there were clowns spotted in his town. It said, if you walk by in that clown costume, like, I'm basically going to shoot you to death. Like, it's kind of... That was paraphrasing, of course, but it was basically like I will arrest you, like I will not stand for this anymore.
So I got caught up in some Pokemon news, and then I came back into our conversation. And what? This
clowns.
Is crazy.
No,
scary
so
clown.
So like this one guy, like a couple guys, dressed up as clowns, and they were luring kids into the woods, and somehow it's just gone viral. That happened, and now people are dressing up like clowns and walking the streets, and now they're armed. A lot of them have guns. A lot of them have machetes. Like, it's basically like Purge, like the Purge on a national scale. However, I don't think anyone has died yet, you know, so it's not, but it's still terrifying.
This is some insane clown posse crap. what's wrong?
The videos are quite disturbing on YouTube.
Oh, they're terrifying.
They're terrifying.
Quite disturbing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in other news, speaking of Halloween, a creationist group wants to tell trick-or-treaters they're going to hell.
Nice.
So, an anti-Halloween creationist have some ideas about the holiday that could turn your home into the least popular trick-or-treat stop in the neighborhood.
It's actually a good idea.
Instead of handing out candy, Answers in Genesis wants to give you trick-or-treaters fake $1 or $1 million bills that warn children of the fiery hell that awaits them.
I actually hate trick-or-treaters. Like, it's like one of my highest passion, I'm telling you. I love little kids, okay? But I hate trick-or-treaters. So, essentially, this is a good idea.
No, it's not.
It's not so
I love the Halloween parties. I hate Halloween.
So the dollar bill says, "Have you ever lied, stolen, or used God's name in vain? The penalty for your crimes against God is death and eternal hell."
Oh, jeez.
Dun, dun, dun.
They could just go to the hell, I mean.
You know, but according to the Old Testament, they're completely justified in saying that.
Yeah.
Well, so Halloween, in the Bible Belt, people will say that Halloween is the devil's birthday. Which is silly, because the point is that Satan wasn't born, right? Like,
what?
He was never born. right? Lucifer was never born.
He never, according to modern Christian theology, Lucifer didn't receive a body. Yes.
So, I don't know. It's just funny that they're like, Halloween is Satan's birthday. he doesn't have a birthday.
Well, maybe it's because
it's a stupid idea.
Since people are dressing up as ghouly ghouls and their favorite TV sitcoms, that it's almost like a physical iteration of Lucifer.
Yeah.
If we say his name three times in the studio, do you think he'll appear?
No. we can. There's a radio ghost though. Anyway, okay, Morgan.
we just have to wrap up.
for Halloween, are you going to dress up as Brad? And is Brad going to dress up as you?
No, quick. We need to tell all of our Halloween costumes.
Okay, wait. No, we can. That'll be the next episode.
Oh, come on.
The next
episode. Everyone go to the howl though. The howl's going to be dope.
The howl. Yeah.
Who's playing? Some random artist that we don't care about.
I don't know.
All
it's
right,
awesome.
Guys.
Go to the howl, though.
We're wrapping up the show.
Halloween's amazing.
Thank you so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast. Meet the candidates tonight, 7 p.m. in the business building. Misty Snow, Mike Lee, Peter Clemens, and Kurt Webb, and David Clark. They will all be there tonight. Meet them, greet them, get to know them, because they're cool.
I'm going to dress up as Kurt Webb for Halloween.
Thank you so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast on KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. Woo. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Joe Steven.
I'm Peter LaBarge.
And I'm Catherine St. Clair.
Bye.
Actually, one last thing before we go.
I'm
so sorry, but Cafe Ibis.
We love Cafe Ibis.
Cafe Ibis is the sponsor for our show. They are the fuel for this show. I would not be here. I would not be awake if it were not for Cafe Ibis.
They wouldn't have asked those controversial questions without Cafe Ibis.
So,
thank you, Cafe Ibis.
Thank you.
So, all right. And that said, have a good day, guys.